We are going to miss Gabby when Gabby has to go home for the summer here. We've enjoyed having him and the other musicians here as well. But he'll be back again, hopefully not too long. And just for the summer, too, I want to, you know, announce to you, if there's any other that play any musicians or you wouldn't mind singing and help lead a congregational worship here by your singing or by playing an instrument, would you let us know about that? Who knows? We might have somebody here who plays a bass guitar or some other instrument like that. That would be good. So at any rate, listen, I wanted to just check with two other things. We're having a baptismal coming up here as well. If you are interested in following the Lord, you haven't been baptized, believer's baptism, wanted to let you know about that, and we're going to be having one in the near future here. Also, I just wanted to get a feedback. We've opened up to anybody in our fellowship to go online and use Right Now Media. And I just want to get a little feedback. Is it worth what we're paying Right Now Media here? So how many here are taking access and using Right Now Media? Anybody here? Okay, you do. Okay, you are? Okay. All right. Okay, so I just want to get some feedback on that. Okay, very good. Emily Dickinson said this, "Hope is that thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all." We've been looking at hope, and hope really makes a difference, especially when we are dealing with the problems. Each one of us will go through different situations in our life, and hope will make all the difference. I read of a story about a young missionary. It came from Philip Yancey's book, Disappointment with God. But this missionary and his wife went and planted a church in the jungles of Peru. However, they came up with an obstacle that was a really difficult obstacle. Their six-month-old son died from a sudden onset of vomiting and diarrhea. And the young missionary seemed to crack over the occasion. He hewed a marker. He found some granite. He hewed a marker from local stone. And he buried the baby's body beneath the marker. And he planted a small tree alongside the grave. And each day, about when others would find shelter from the sun, being the heat of an equatorial climate, he would go down to the river and he'd get some water and he'd go and he'd water the tree beside the grave marker. And then he would seem to stand in the sun to give some shade to that tree. Sometimes he would weep there, sometimes pray, and sometimes just stand there with a vacant gaze. His wife and the Peruvian Indian church members tried to comfort him, but nobody seemed to be able to help him. Eventually, the missionary himself got sick. His mind wandered. He had constant diarrhea. None of the drugs that he tried were helpful. He was flown to Lima, the capital. Doctors probed him for any signs of amoeba or anything, topical organisms, and found nothing. They diagnosed his problem as hysterical diarrhea, and he had to send him and his wife back home to the United States. But some of the natives in that area said he was tormented with the question of unfairness. His baby had done nothing wrong. The missionary had brought his family to serve God in the jungle, and was this their reward? He had also prayed for some signs of God's presence, or at least a word of comfort, but he felt none. As if distrustful of God's own sympathy, the missionary took on a form of sympathetic suffering in his own body. Even as I've been studying again on this topic of hope, I went back and a long time ago and I looked up every word, especially in the New Testament, for the word, how they were used, the word hope was used. There's a noun and a verb. And I looked at all the passages, and so I will show some of those passages this morning again. But even as now I've had some time off, being off ATI, I've been doing more reading and And it seems like as I get in the subject of hope, it keeps on expanding. So what started out maybe the three series lesson may end up to be a few more than that, even as I was looking into the Old Testament this past week. But last week, I want to just mention, let's see if my clicker works here. Maybe I should turn it on. Would that help? We said that everybody will run into storms in their life. How important it is to have your anchor anchored to something that's solid. I mentioned my wife and I sang this song, "In times like this, we need a Savior. In times like this, we need the Word of God in the trials that we face in life." And we were looking last week, we started to look at uncertain hopes. People can hope in different things. We see that in the Scriptures. Hope means a joyful anticipation. You know, the way that we use hope in our culture is maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But the biblical word for hope is more like a joyful anticipation. It's a look forward, looking forward to something. And people look forward to things that are uncertain. And the Bible says there are certain things in this life. And then even more importantly, which we're going to look at in the future, hope that we have in future things beyond this life. But let's consider some of those uncertain things that we looked at last week. We talked about the people have a hope of... it's hard to see. We're going to get that screen down here eventually, okay? So we can read this. But people tend to hope in money or material things. We looked at this scripture here where Paul was standing before Felix, the judge. And when Paul reasoned him of righteousness and judgment to come, he was, the King James Bible said he was not only afraid, he trembled. He sent Paul away, but he called for Paul to hear Paul again because he'd hoped, that's our word, hope that Paul would provide him with some money. And we talked about how people hope for and they hope in money, in material things. It's such a trap. And in the scripture, we also find that money, material things, is uncertain. Here we find out in 2 Timothy that Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or proud, not to trust," that's our word, "hope in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy." We talked a little bit about that last week. We learn how the things that money can do, the things that material things can do. And we can learn to put our hope and our trust in money. But even our early forefathers in this country, coming from a Judeo-Christian ethic, they made sure it was written on our dollar bills and all our coins, "In God we trust." Not in our money do we trust, but in God do we trust. Isn't it interesting? It always amazes me how people have hope when they buy that lottery ticket. You know, I'm amazed. I mean, people have a joyful anticipation when they put down that money. I just can't get over it. I go in some of these stores and I see them lying down $100 on lottery tickets. And when I think about what a remote hope that is that they will hit the lottery, I said, that's just like putting that money in a hole in the ground as far as I'm concerned. But they've got this joyful anticipation that they are going to hit it big and win the lotto jackpot. Well, so people can hope in money. And then we said last time that also people can hope in miracles. Now, you understand that we don't ever want to downplay miracles. We want to hope in miracles. But we're talking about of a wrong attitude that's involved here. We've looked at this passage of how Herod, for example, he hoped to see some miracle that Jesus would perform. The type of hope that Herod had and the type the religious leaders had was a lack of faith. It was not faith in hoping to see miracles. The religious leaders wanted Jesus to do some signs. They had seen him perform miracles, and yet they wanted some miraculous signs from heaven. And we looked even at some people in religions today that they will bypass things that God has already provided in hope of spectacular. And we talked about how that can relate. We talked about the faith assembly that was down in Indiana. We talked about there were 52 children. It was a large ministry. 52 children that died because the parents would not give them prescription pharmaceuticals, drugs. But instead, they're just going to bring them to the altar and just pray in faith. Now, we want to get both sides of that to understand that. But sometimes the people can have the wrong motives. God is not interested in performing miracles in behalf of somebody whose faith is weak. It'll just be a crutch. They want it to be a demonstration. God doesn't work that way. But yet God does perform miracles. Listen, and we want everybody to understand that when you get a sickness, you trust in God even before other things like medicines and doctors. And first, put your hope in God. And that same is with money. First, money is important. But first, put your hope and trust in God. Nancy and I listened to a message. Do you remember this guy, Otto Kroning? Those of you who are at the Institute of Basic Life Principles, when Robert was here, you remember Otto Kroning? He told about the pineapple story. Do you remember the pineapple story? That guy's got a great sense of humor. But we listened to a message by Otto Kroning this past week. It was in the 1990s. He was living in West Virginia. He had to come home from the field because his wife had some liver disease in the tropics there, and she had to receive care here. But he was talking about in the Christian school they were at in West Virginia. West Virginia, as you know, there's got a lot of poor people in West Virginia, some wealthy people, I'm sure, too. But in that part of the country, the Appalachian region, there's some poor people. And he had his kids that were involved in a Christian school, and he met this little boy that was, I think, 11 or 12-year-old boy that came from a very poor family. He understood that this family had, maybe they sold odds and ends to make a little money, but whatever they would do, they put it toward the Christian school so that this boy of theirs, who also his eyesight wasn't really good of this 12-year-old boy, but this 12-year-old boy wanted to be a preacher. And so they were going to sacrifice and send him to the Christian school. And this father met Otto Kroning in a place, I don't know, it was a hardware store or something like that. Otto Kroning said he didn't look like a preacher or anything like that, but this guy sensed he was a preacher. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "when was the last time that you had miracles, you saw a miracle of God?" Well, Otto Kroning is kind of an amazing thing, and he had lots to tell of some of his things that he saw in the mission field. But he said it would take a while to tell that. He said, "because my boy has got tremendous faith," this 12-year-old boy. This 12-year-old boy, he went to church. His parents, Otto Kroning asked the dad, "Are you a believer? Are you a believer in the Lord?" And he said, "No, I'm not. But my son wants to be a preacher, and so we're sending him to the Christian school." But he talked about how they went to a church, and the church was collecting eggs for some reason. It was maybe for an Easter egg hunt around Easter time. Has anybody heard this story, by the way? And this boy, you know, was a poor family. And they had about a certain number of eggs that they had, and the son brought them in to donate to the church. They had so little, and yet he brought these eggs in to donate to the church. Well, his mom was going to work with him to color some Easter eggs about Easter time here. And so this boy was he was looking forward to this. Now they were only down to about, I think it was maybe 10 eggs or something. I forget all the details of this. But the young boy took the eggs. He was going to help his mom and start the eggs, boiling the eggs so they're hard-boiled. He took them right out of the cold refrigerator, and he put them right in the boiling hot water. And you know what happened? They broke. And now they were down. They didn't have many eggs. He donated in the church. And this young boy was so upset about this, and the parents knew what happened right away, you know. And he cried out to the Lord and he said, "Lord, heal my eggs. Heal my eggs," you know. And Otto Kroning says, Can you imagine now? You know, us adults, we don't have too much faith. But you know what? Otto Kroning says, make sure when you pray, bring your kids in there, because kids have faith in God. They have faith in God. But can you imagine, Otto Kroning was saying, here's God in heaven. Did you hear what this little boy said? He said, heal his aches, you know? And, you know, there are all kinds of things that might have happened. There might have had somebody come over there and say, listen, you know, I just had an impression from God that we ought to come and give you some eggs. You know, there are things along that line that might have happened. And Otto Kroning went along with the story. But he said all of a sudden the parents were in another part and they saw that the eggs were broken and everything and, you know, everywhere in the water and everything. And then all of a sudden, and you're not going to believe this, I'll tell you, because it's hard to believe, but they hear this noise made from the kitchen. And he said, God answered my prayer. And the parents went back now, and they looked in the pan of the boiling water, and the eggs were completely whole again. Now, Otto Kroning says, I told that story in a Baptist church, and you know, people didn't really sit too well in a Baptist church, you know. But the boy, the father was saying, how did that happen? He said, I saw the stuff go back in the eggs again. Do you believe God can do something like that? Listen, God created this whole world, we believe, out of nothing. Here's a little boy with faith, and you know that the father took those eggs out, and he examined them. You know, they became hard-boiled, and he looked, and there wasn't a crack anywhere in any of the eggs. Otto Kroning said, and I believe that God probably put all that substance that was water, made sure the right substance got back in the right eggs. And he said the next day they peeled them, and when they peeled the eggs, you know, they were perfect. And he cut through the eggs, and they were exactly perfect. So that's why he had this preacher. He said, have you seen any miracles lately? Friends, that is a miracle. Whenever you see something go against the laws of nature, that's defined as a miracle. So we never want to say, hey, God doesn't do miracles today. He does. But ordinarily, God does things more often in our lives according to providential circumstances. And like David Jeremiah says, it's amazing how many providential circumstances I see in my life when I pray and I seek out God for answers. I gave you illustration even how, you know, the back problem I had, the Lord didn't instantaneously heal that problem. I went through an MRI, but it was just one chain of events after another, and immediately after the surgery, I have no pain whatsoever, you know, none. But he used a certain course of events. And I'll show you how some of this works sometimes. It's amazing. When you're a believer, you watch how God leads you in your life, and you're sometimes very amazed. About 1 month ago, I think it was, Sandra Zorn came up to me, and she said that she and Dave would like to have their 60 wedding anniversary vows renewed. Right, Dave? And that, now, she gave me a date toward the end of the summer when she'd want to do that. But, you know, she was telling me, I was talking over the phone, and she said, you won't believe this, Pastor, what happened to me. And I said, what was that? She said, we talked about having our marriage vows renewed because, what is it, 60th? You've been married, it'll be 60 years, right, Dave? See if he remembers his anniversary there. We'll have to check him out on that. But anyway, she went and looked in the back of one of their dresser drawers, was way in the back. I don't know what she was doing again, and she found this container. And it was a container, and she opened it up. It hadn't been opened for 60 years. In the container was her garter from the wedding, and it was the vows that she and originally Dave had written. It hadn't been opened for 60 years. She found them back in the drawer. Now, isn't it circumstantial that thing would have happened? Very circumstantial, isn't it? But that's the type of thing that you see when you're walking with the Lord. You see the Lord do these amazing things in your life. And the more you pray and the more you walk with God, you see more of these circumstantial things that are hard to explain. They're not miracles, but they sure are incredible as you see God working in your life, right? Well, we say that sometimes people put, though, with the wrong attitude, they have it's an uncertain hope with the miracles that want just a display. Well, let's go on. What's another uncertain hope in Scripture? Well, there's the Scripture. We are related to that already. But they could hope erroneously in money, material things, hope for erroneously in miracles. But then they could hope in the Messiah. The Scripture said it this way. Luke 24. And he said to them, Jesus was walking with these disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he said to them, "What things are you so sad about?" And they said, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping," there's our word, "hoping that he, it was going to be he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened." Even among Jesus' followers, and it's not wrong to look for the Messiah. Let's not get this wrong. All of us are waiting for Jesus Christ to return again. But the trouble is we can hope in a type of a Savior or Messiah that's not the biblical one. Or hope in a time period that's not the biblical time period. Have you seen in your life where people have made predictions that Jesus Christ is coming back at a certain time? And what, when people pull that out and when they mention to you that Jesus Christ is supposed to come back, I remember there was 1983 was one, or so, back at a certain time, there were certain dates that were, and they were publicized widely. When I was in high school, I know all these kids were making jokes of it because they said Jesus is coming back. You know what? When anybody sets a date or a time of any day, you know that is not the date. Because of what the Bible says. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour, right? But people can hope in a false Messiah. There are many false messiahs out there today, too. And maybe they can hope in a political figure to deliver. Well, that's a wrong type of hope. That's an uncertain hope. And let's go on here. People can also, as an uncertain hope, have a hope, the Bible says, in a makeover. Let me just read the passage in 1 Peter here. Wives, Paul was writing to believing women who were married, who had husbands that did not know the Lord. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on a fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted or who hoped in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. This is such a pertinent topic for today's day and age. Because everybody, you know, how many advertisements are on the web now about men getting a six-pack? About women, you know, everything on the cosmetics and everything like this. Listen, the Bible says don't hope in a makeover to try to win your husband to Christ. We ought not to put our hope in those type of things, but rather in a meek and quiet spirit. Well, there are other hopes, too, that people might have. Taken from the Old Testament, let me just mention these things. We won't go on these too long, but I'll tell you the story of King Asa. King Asa was a good king. And when he became king in, over Judah, he armed his soldiers and developed military might. And it's good to for a nation to be strong in their military. But listen, even as the book of Psalms says, Our hope is not in horses, but in the Lord. Our military might is found in the Lord, first of all. Well, anyway, King Asa had an army of 1 million men. The first 1 million men marched that came against King Asa from Ethiopia. And they came against this huge horde. And what Asa did is he went to the Lord and said, "We have no power against such a large army like that." And the Lord helped Asa defeat that entire 1 million-man army. And then, at another time, the king of Israel came down against Judah. And wouldn't you know, King Asa, instead of relying upon the Lord like he relied upon the Lord, what he did is he went to man. And look, in the Bible warns us about putting our hope in men. We rely on other people to accomplish things, but first our hope needs to be with the Lord. Well, he went to the king of Assyria. He sent money, his gold, to the king of Assyria. And Ben-Hadad came down there, and he started a war against the king of Israel. And that king left fighting in a siege of Judah and went up to fight in the north. Asa got his answer. He got what he wanted. But the Lord sent Hananiah, the prophet, and said, "You've done a foolish thing because you've trusted in man rather than the Lord." And so that's the other thing that we can do. We can put our trust in man, or our hope in man, rather than the Lord. And then finally, when Asa was an older man, he got disease in his feet. And the Bible says instead of going to the Lord, he looked to man, went to physicians. And he ended up dying even from that sickness. So these are some other uncertain hopes that we might have in our life. Well, let's go on and just take a look now at some certain hopes that we might have in our life, in this lifetime, okay? These things would be trustworthy. These things are unusual now, what we're normally at. Let's see now. Where am I? Okay, the first one is a hope of fellowship. Now see, these aren't, the rest of the world doesn't understand these things. What are we talking about, fellowship? Well, look at what the Apostle Paul said. And it's stated in a number of places in Scripture. He says, "Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full." Many places in Scripture, people who are believers hoped to be with other believers. That's foreign our culture. It really is. You know, one thing that we noticed when we went overseas to Erie and Jaya, we spent a year over there, we were amazed at how close and tight the relationships were on the mission field as compared to the United States. The United States, people want their own personal space and their privacy. But people in these third world countries, they value the relationships with other believers. And if we want the same, we say, "Lord, provide me with fellowship with other believers." Those are the type of prayer requests that the Lord answers. He delights in providing fellowship with believers. I told you the story about the woman who was from the Soviet Union. She was from Siberia. And she had an opportunity. She lived in these really terrible conditions. She had the opportunity to go to Canada. And when she went to Canada, her relatives said, "Now you can defect from the country there." She thought that she would defect because she lived in a place in Siberia as a believer. She was under persecution where the temperature in that place was about 40, 50 degrees. Cold. And yet after a certain time period in Canada, she wanted to go back to Siberia. And they said, "You've got to be kidding. Why would you want to go back there?" She says, "Because of the believers back there. You people have all the things that you do. You go and you do all these activities." He said, "But what I want more than anything else, I want to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ in Siberia." And they were just shocked. But she had learned how precious were those relationships. You know, once when I was in the church, when I was pastoring in Pontiac, Michigan, Jack Van Impe was coming to the Pontiac Stadium there. Now, you know who Jack Van Impe is? He's still got a broadcast on television. It's called The Walking Bible. He's memorized so much scripture. He's in his late 80s, I believe, now, and he's gone through some real sickness now. But anyway, this was a number of years ago. He was putting on a crusade there. And so we were going about in the neighborhood, and we were passing out flyers to try to get people to come to this Jack Van Impe crusade there in Pontiac, Michigan. And I remember visiting this one home where the people had just moved in. And I found out that they moved from another part of Detroit over here to that area. And I wondered, why? Did you get a job or anything like that? And they said, no, there's a church over here that we want to attend. And so we moved our family over here so we could attend that church. Boy, was I envious. Wouldn't you like to have people in your fellowship who moved specifically to that area to be part of your church? Huh? That's how much they valued the fellowship in that church. And that's something that we can hope in this lifetime, that God would answer us if we're short of fellowshipping with other believers. He can provide an answer to that prayer and realize that hope. Well, let's go on here. Another hope that we can have in our lifetime is hope of deliverance. Deliverance in particular from physical death. You know, in Scripture, when the Apostle Paul was imprisoned and he was sent on a ship, they got in a storm at sea. And it was such a bad storm, they threw off all the cargo in that ship. And it was so violent, it lasted like for 14 days. They couldn't make any progress. They were just at their wits' end. They didn't eat anything. They were trying to keep, they had to put ropes around the ship like that to keep it so it wouldn't crash apart. And it says in the Scripture that they all lost hope of ever being saved. It was such a terrible storm at sea. It was a perfect storm. Apostle Paul had the Lord revealed to him that they were going to land on a certain island and they were all going to be saved. But we see in a number of places in Scripture, here Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, yes, in a number of places in his life, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we hope, we trust that he will deliver us still. Even when we're in a dangerous situation, God can provide deliverance in that. And another thing he can provide deliverance in is not only from physical death, but in from being ashamed of Jesus Christ. He says that in Philippians chapter 1. He said, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Do you have such a hope? You think about it. How would you like to have it on your resume when you got to heaven that you were ashamed of Jesus Christ? That's something that we can hope in, that the Lord would give us courage to speak out in behalf of Jesus Christ, to be unashamed of Jesus Christ. Paul said the Lord worked in him so that he was not ashamed of the gospel, that he preached the gospel. That's a hope we can have that the Lord is very interested in. And then this is the other side of it, hope for fruit, changed lives. The Apostle Paul said, for we have not overextended ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased. Anybody who does any teaching or working in the church hopes, for example, every one of these Awana workers, when they share those scriptures with those children, you know what their hope is? Their hope is that those boys and girls will learn those scriptures, and those scriptures will make an impact in their life. Let's just give you an illustration of this. Rob, who's marrying Rachel right here, you grew up in the Awana program, didn't you? And so many kids, you'll find years later, you probably grew up in a Christian home, did you? Yeah. But there are kids that come to our WANA program that don't come from any home of believers in the home. And God can so work with the scriptures in their life that their lives are changed. That's tremendous. Those are the type of things that we really ought to hope for. And then opposite of what we saw previously about hoping in a makeover, we can hope in for inner beauty. And that's, we're not going to read that passage of in Peter again, but that's what the scripture says there over there and in 1 Peter again. We already went over that passage. But the Lord will provide inner beauty, which is just, I tell you, which would you rather have it? You know, we get a lot of propaganda for us to have a tremendous physical build, for women to be beautiful. It's such a pressure in our society. But more important to have a beautiful appearance outwardly is to have this meek and quiet spirit inwardly. Have confidence in the Lord. That'll win over a husband who does not know Jesus Christ. I told you about this one time that I was watching a program on TV, and it was a type of a candid camera type of program where this guy who was a Hollywood actor, he had married a Miss America. And this Miss America, they had a practical joke they were going to play on her. They were in this place looking at doors, and there were these glass doors like this, four glass doors. You've seen them in maybe Home Depot. And they were looking at these glass doors. And this woman went in, the former Miss America, and she said, well, try and see how these doors work for you. She went in, went in there, and she hit the door behind it, and now she was shut in there, and she couldn't open these doors. They did it deliberately. Now it was open on top. It wasn't all closed in, but she couldn't get out of these doors, okay? And so they said, wow, that's a puzzle. We got to see how we can get somebody to fix these doors. Well, the people from the hardware store left, or the, you know, left, and she was left there with her husband there, and the camera was on her. And boy, did she start to curse her husband. And I thought to myself as I watched this beautiful Miss America, I said, how would you like to be married to her? No way! I don't care how beautiful she is, you know? I'd rather be married to my wife, for example, who's got a meek and quiet spirit of great price, okay? But that's something you women and us men, too, can hope for, inner beauty, something in this lifetime. Okay, going on then, we can also hope for character qualities. You know, even as a result of going through trials and tribulations, none of us want to go through trials and tribulations, but listen, God can work in through trials and tribulations, characteristics of Jesus Christ, patience. He can fill us with joy, even as we go through these trials and tribulations. It says that in Romans chapter 5. We won't read this passage. We got a communion here, so we'll just wrap it up real quick, or shortly here. Character qualities. Also, daily provisions from the Lord. This is talking about a widow. Now, she was really a widow and left alone, trusts or hopes in God's and continues in supplication and prayers day and night. The Bible encourages us to pray for our daily provisions. You know, these widows back at this time, a woman really had a struggle. They didn't have the opportunity like they have in our society. So they learned to trust in God and pray in faith, and the Lord provided for them. And one last thing I want to mention on here, what the Bible says is a hope, is that is a hope in for children. And that one passage considers the passage over in Romans chapter 4, where Abraham, it says, who contrary to hope, believed in hope, so that he became the father of many nations. Do you realize this, that our society is so different from the Word of God, children are more or less an imposition in the lifestyle. Now in our society, basically what it is, couples want to spend a lot of time together and to do their things, and now it seems like they're having children, maybe one or two when they're in their late 30s. Isn't that the way it seems to go a lot of times now? Children aren't looked upon as being a blessing, but the Bible, they're so precious. And as we hope in children, we've seen couples that have not been able to have children. They've put their hope in the Lord, and the Lord has allowed them to bear children. Have you seen that? My cousin, Brian Anderson, he and his wife, they couldn't have children. They adopted one, and then Carol got pregnant. You've seen that happen sometimes. We've got friends, Elliot Anderson from Evangelical E-Free. He was pastor there when we came there. But he and Angie couldn't have any children. They adopted two boys. And once you know, the Lord brought other children into their family as well. Listen, God is serious about prayers like that. And he looks to us to hope in him, even for the provision of children. Well, that's all some of the things that the Bible mentions of hopes that we have right now in this life. But do you realize the scripture says that if we have hope only in this life, we're of miserable people. We have hope beyond this life, and we're going to start to look at some of those next week. But let me just say in closing, you know, last week I told you about this missionary couple who the children, Jason and the two kids, were sucked into the electrical. I read that to you. And how the Lord delivered to them. They should have been killed. They should have all been killed. But when I finished that, Nancy said, and by the way, I'll give you a picture here of Jason and Roxanne and their family here. But when I finished it, they also got a foster child now, but they got three children now. But there was the two older girls sitting next to Roxanne there and Jason who were pulled into this electrical panel. And when I finished last week, Nancy said, but you didn't tell one of the coolest things in that story. And I said, what was that? And she said, of the healing of Evie's foot. And so I said, well, I didn't have that in that blog that I read on the internet. So I went back and I read it. Now, this was 5 years ago, and I went about some date after the next thing she put on the internet. And she said this, and I found it. Now, this is a month after. This is a month after they had this accident, okay? And I saw pictures of them. They were wearing bandages on their feet, for example. And she said this, and they were finishing their furlough. They've been on the four-year now. They were coming back to the United States. And in this blog, she said, I couldn't make this stuff up. Seriously, fair warning, what follows completely ups our crazy meter, if that's possible. Right now, we are resting, wearing sweatshirts, drinking coffee, and enjoying the quiet instead of being at the hospital for skin grafts. Why? Because God healed Miss Evie's foot. That's her daughter. Again, yep, I know. I sort of feel like cussing out of pure shock and joy. I just think I might. Honestly, I could not make this stuff up. And we were just as shocked when after wrapping a wound that looked like this 10 minutes before we got on the plane leaving the island, a wound that was still open, not healing much and had signs of eschar inside, not to mention it looked like a few slices of her toe was gone. Okay, this is 10 minutes before they get on the plane to go back to the United States. And she says, when they got to the States, they went to the doctor. I mean, we're talking about 2 days because of the flight. They went to the doctor to have this toe, because this was a serious eschar and everything like this. When they took off the bandage, this is what the toe looked like. About 2 days' time, it was like a chunk of her toe regrew in the air. I called Jason over, and he immediately joined me in my freak out. We prayed and prayed for healing for her in Zanzibar. I told you about a month later. Even with my husband's, with my mustard-sized faith, I believed that maybe, just maybe, I would open her wound the next morning to not find even a scratch. But he did not heal her that way. We don't know why, but he chose to have us rearrange things for an early departure. I think in part it was to protect my emotional self from my prolonged and painful goodbyes. Maybe he knew we needed to wear sweatshirts and hang out a couple of weeks without much of agenda. Maybe this is another lesson in my ways are not ways. But whatever the reasons, we are so thankful that our baby will not have to go through surgery or skin grafts, at least not for now. The awesome doctor at Children's Hospital, that's in Chicago here, could not believe she walked away from the electrocution in Africa with just this scar. He examined her and affirmed that it was much better than the picture he saw just a few days prior. The pink area is new skin and shows no signs of infection at all. He gave us instructions of keeping it clean, closed, moist, and treated. No fun in the sand or water for Evie. No worries. It's way too cold for us Africans here. And she was to wear socks at all time and come back this week to check on the progress. He said she may have a wicked scar, but I happen to think scars are pretty cool. You know, this is where I wrestled a lion. This is where I put a pickaxe through my knee. And an Evie's cape. Oh, yeah, that was where 360 volts of electricity exited my 2-year-old body, and God miraculously saved me. So she is doing great, and we are in awe again. Isn't that amazing? So the picture just shows. Doesn't happen normally that way, does it? But God can do these things. We have great hope in Him. Let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this time we could spend in Your Word. It's been a lot of stuff to digest. I thank You for the patience of this people and their attentiveness. Now, Lord, even as we look to Your table, we want to focus on You again. Our hope is not just in things, Lord. Our hope is in You. And You provide the healings. You provide our daily provisions. You provide fellowship. You provide inner beauty. You provide these character qualities. So even as we look at You and what You did for us this morning, help us to have hearts that are full of hope and full of joy in what You have accomplished for us by grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll have the deacons.